All right, good afternoon. This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. My name is Jared Griffin. I'll be bringing you the noon newscast today. Coming up in our new newscast, we got the Kodiak Emergency Services Organization has more information about the island's most recent cases of COVID. The Crab Festival is still on tap for this August, but it's definitely going to be a different experience. And a birthday party for an elder in Old Harbor is improvised around the COVID pandemic. Those stories and more. Let's check in with the weather right now. It's 58 degrees in Kodiak. Fair skies. Northwest wind 8 miles an hour. It's going to be a sunny day with a high near 61. Not too shabby. A lot like yesterday. Beautiful day. Beautiful day to sweat. If you're heading to the homeland, to the mainland in Homer, let's see, 55 degrees. West wind 8 miles an hour. And over in Anchorage, 55 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. It's going to be mostly sunny in Anchorage. It looks like for the rest of the week, and they might even break the 70-degree milestone later on this week. Should be pretty nice. So stay tuned for, we got national headlines from NPR coming up next, followed by the new newscast, The Island Messenger, and Talk of the Rock with the Kodiak History Museum. Stay tuned.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. One of the takeaways from today's congressional hearing on coronavirus is to stop politicizing the mask and wear it. It can slow the spread of the virus, and that can mean the difference between life and death. The head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Robert Redfield, says
hospitalizations now are going up in 12 states. And as of this weekend, daily death now has increased in the state of Arizona.
As NPR's Richard Harris reports, officials told members of Congress that coronavirus is not at all under control.
Joining the CDC director and other health officials at a Senate hearing, Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease doctor, warned that the epidemic is being driven to new heights by people who aren't bothering to wear face coverings or to practice social distancing.
We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, and so I am very concerned.
And the official case count significantly undercounts the true numbers, health authorities say. Fauci said, quote, we are heading in the wrong direction, so we really need to do something about that, and we need to do it quickly. Richard Harris, NPR News.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled a state cannot prevent government funds from being spent on religious schools. More from NPR's Tom Gelton.
At issue in this case was a program in Montana under which taxpayers could receive dollar-for-dollar tax credits for contributions they made to a student scholarship program, the main beneficiaries of which were religious schools. The program was terminated after a court in Montana ruled that it violated a clause in the state constitution barring the distribution of state funds to religious organizations. Parents who might have benefited from the program objected, and by a 5-4 margin, the Supreme Court took the side of the parents, ruling that the Montana provision amounted to religious discrimination. The ruling is seen as a major victory for advocates of government funding for religious education. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.
The White House is facing mounting congressional pressure to explain reports that U.S. intel reveal Russian bounties on the heads of American forces in Afghanistan. President Trump maintains he wasn't briefed about the alleged Russia-Taliban arrangement. Democrat Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
The president of the United States should not be inviting Russia into the G7 or G8. We should be considering what sanctions are appropriate to further deter Russia's malign activities.
Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming put America's enemies on notice.
Any targeting of U.S. forces by Russians, by anyone else, will face a very swift and deadly response.
In the Senate, top Republicans appear to back the president in his skepticism about the story, which was first reported by the New York Times. The Dow closes up 216 points to 25,812. This is NPR News. Hollywood is mourning the death of film and television legend Carl Reiner. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports stars are flooding social media with tributes.
Everyone from Piers Morgan to Sarah Silverman has been remembering Carl Reiner, who helped make countless funny movies and TV shows, including the early classic sitcom he created, The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Sweetheart, was there any mail today?
Oh, yes, some very important letters. I'll get them for you.
Carl's son, Rob Reiner, said on Twitter, "He was my guiding light." But that was true for generations of Reiner's spiritual children, including English comedian Sanjeev Bhaskar, who posted a recent picture of Reiner in a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and Late Show host Stephen Colbert, who tweeted a photo captioned simply, "The Greatest." Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Family, friends, and fans all over are also saying goodbye to another great Oscar and Emmy-winning composer, Johnny Mandel. He wrote the theme song to MASH. He wrote the music for a song called Suicide is Painless, intended for one scene in the movie, but the MASH theme song ended up becoming one of the most recognizable ever. He studied piano, trombone, and trumpet. As a teen, Mandel played in swing bands. One of his biggest admirers, a popular crooner, Michael Bublé, said of Johnny Mandel, he was a genius. The European Union is greenlighting 14 countries whose citizens can resume travel to members of the European bloc starting tomorrow because infection rates have dropped. They do not include the United States, where more states are reporting new cases. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow had closed up 217 points, ending the day at 25,812. NASDAQ was up 1.8%. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and in developing countries, and working to inspire and enable the next generation of inventors. More information is available at lemelson.org.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
All right, welcome to the KMXT's Noon Newscast. Let's jump right into it. Looks like we're hearing that some PFDs are starting to drop into your bank accounts, so you might want to check that out. The information received from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services about the two COVID-19 cases reported on Friday, I think that was cases number 8 and 9 in Kodiak, they have been updated to confirm that the individuals are both non-residents. One case is classified as community spread from close contact with a previously confirmed case. The other is travel-related. The individuals are isolated and being monitored. The contact investigation is complete. And we do have some updates on COVID-19 cases. Alaska health officials reported 25 new COVID-19 cases on Monday, including 21 Alaskans and 4 non-residents. The numbers reflect cases reported as of late Sunday and range from Anchorage to a village in the Bering Strait region. Of the new resident cases, 7 are from Anchorage, 8 are from the Kenai Peninsula Borough, 3 are from the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, 2 are from the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and 1 is from the Nome region. Norton Sound Health Corporation, a Nome-based tribal health care provider, says the local case was in a corporation employee in a regional village. Was a corporation employee in a regional village. As the number of coronavirus cases continues rising across Alaska, the virus is creeping into some of the most remote parts of the state. A visitor to the tiny town of McCarthy tested positive for COVID-19 on Friday. It's June 26th. Currently, there is no testing available in the town, which sits around 300 miles east of Anchorage in the Valdez-Cordova census area. The man had to drive nearly 4 hours to a medical clinic in Glen Allen to receive the rapid test. McCarthy's population blooms in the summer with seasonal residents and tourists visiting the surrounding Wrangell-St. Elias National Park. It has a year-round population of around 40 and sits at the end of nearly 60 miles of unpaved road on the other side of a footbridge. Access, lack of local government, and no healthcare facilities make responding to the arrival of the coronavirus in the town especially challenging. Jacob Schultz is the president of the town's EMS group.
We're already challenged to begin with. We're a completely volunteer EMS service, and almost all of our equipment and supplies and consumables comes from local donations of either money or supplies.
The patient did patronize at least one local business while visiting. McCarthy Lodge owner Neil Darish says that four of his employees are quarantining and have driven out multiple times to test. How to prevent and manage a potential outbreak has been a source of both conflict and anxiety in the community, says Darish, especially as the 4th of July approaches and businesses prepare to handle an influx of visitors.
I think the hardest part is navigating through the community and what the community needs, and then what we need to, you know, to do the right thing by all the parties. And so there's a lot of different opinions about what should be done, and we have to make choices, as does everyone, about how to navigate through what's pretty dangerous.
The visitor who tested positive does not have symptoms. After testing, he returned to his residence in Seward to self-isolate for 10 days. He notified McCarthy residents via Facebook. Whether community spread will follow is yet to be seen. Closer to home, Crab Festival 2020 is a show that must go on. That's what the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce has decided. Everyone can still look forward to 5 days of food and fun starting on August 19th. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the chamber's director, Sarah Phillips, says it will be a very different kind of festival.
Crabfest is a food festival. How do you hold a food festival virtually?
Phillips says calls this year's festival a hybrid event, a mix of offerings streamed from the web, with some of them held in person. Vendors, for example, will be able to buy time slots to pitch their wares online.
Any of our people selling products have the opportunity to do product demonstrations, to do videos on how they make items, and really give the story behind the product. But we're excited to be able to offer this worldwide.
Philip says there will be training for merchants on how to use social media to promote their products. Kids, though, will probably be disappointed on how to learn that there won't be carnival rides. However, the chamber hopes to stream games and other activities on the web. As for food, vendors will spread out across town to serve up your favorites. Phillips hopes these adaptations will help prevent the spread of COVID-19, yet keep the spirit of the Crab Festival alive.
It's really a community event with so many elements, with purchasing goods and services to meeting friends and family on the Midway. We've always described it like a big family reunion, and how exciting it is.
Phillips says this year's hybrid festival is still a work in progress. The chamber will be holding a number of Zoom conferences to make plans for the festival, which must be approved by the Kodiak Emergency Operations Team. Most coastal residents have heard about paralytic shellfish poisoning and the dangers that it poses to humans, but it's not just people that can get sick or even die from eating toxic mussels, clams, or other shellfish. As KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, pet owners need to watch out for their pups too.
Naomi Bargman leans over the edge of the Stargaven dock to dip a frosted plastic bottle attached to a net into the cold waters of Sitka Sound. Her Alaskan husky, Chickie, lounges on the dock beside her.
Chickie's not very good at helping, but maybe she tries.
She's doing something called a plankton tow. Her lab conducts one once a week to get a snapshot of what's going on with the water's microscopic life.
So the most important thing is make sure you don't lose the bottle. Make sure it's screwed on tightly. Throw it in the water. Try to get some water in the bottle so it sinks. Try that again. And then one more time. And we're going to let it go to its watery grave at the bottom.
Bargman works as an environmental lab specialist for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. They opened a lab in 2016 to monitor for harmful toxins that cause paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP. What Bargman's doing today helps track harmful algal blooms that can produce those toxins. Blooms can serve as an early warning sign for people who harvest shellfish or pet owners with shellfish-loving dogs.
Fortunately, we haven't seen the harmful algal species in high concentrations lately.
The lab also tests shellfish directly and has a free testing program for Sitkins. Bargman says about 80% of the butter clams they've tested since September have been over the FDA limit.
Butter clams, I like to say that they don't know how to socially distance themselves from PSP, because once they get high levels of PSP, they tend to hang on to them for months to even years.
A dog was recently hospitalized after eating a clam at South Stargaven Beach. Dr. Tocoa Wolf from Sitka Animal Hospital treated the sick puppy.
Really, the only thing you can do is the tincture of thyme, supporting them through the toxicity if it's severe. Sometimes that means giving them nausea medication, IV fluids, warming them if they're having difficulty keeping their temperature up, and monitoring their heart rate because it can cause a very fast heart rate.
Dr. Wolf started practicing in Sitka last August. Since then, she's heard of about 4 suspected cases from other vets in town. But this is the only one she's treated here where the dog had a known history of eating shellfish. She says most dogs make a full recovery by the next day, including the one she treated. Initial signs of PSP in a dog include unstable walking, excessive drooling, weakness, and vomiting.
I would say the most important thing is, you know, not to panic. It doesn't mean that, you know, your dog can't take a nice casual walk on the beach. It's something to be aware of. If you see the signs, it's good to get to a veterinarian.
Because it could be something else that needs to be treated. And even though it's rare, dogs can die from PSP, just like people.
It can progress to muscle paralysis and even respiratory depression or difficulty breathing. And there has been reports of pets having to be put on a ventilator to see through it.
It's not much of a low tide this week.
Okay.
After completing the plankton tow, Naomi Bargman takes her pup for a walk along North Stargaven Beach. Recently, the lab found high levels of PSP in a butter clam just south of here, on the other side of the creek, the same place where the dog Dr. Wolf treated got sick. As Chickie roams with her nose to the ground, Bargman doesn't keep too close of an eye. She's not much of a shellfish eater.
Fortunately for me, I'm not that worried, you know. She eats other disgusting things instead.
But for dog owners whose pets are into digging up and munching shellfish, the best thing they can do is keep them on a leash at the beach and keep watch for local advisories. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
It wasn't the kind of birthday Mary Hawkinson's family in Old Harbor wanted to give her, not with the number of COVID-19 cases on the island and on the rise.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mom. Happy birthday to you.
Mary Hawkinson turned 81 yesterday on Sunday. Not yesterday, that'd be on Sunday. Normally her house would be filled with friends and family, but her health is fragile. Instead, her family asked people to drive by in their cars to surprise her. One had lots of balloons. So, did she like it?
Oh, yes, I did. I was surprised. They start coming and I said, what is going on?
After the birthday balloons, a few family members sat down with Mary for a turkey dinner and triple chocolate cake, the kind with a frosting spread on top and thick, generous swirls prepared lovingly by Mary's daughter, Phyllis. Her other daughter, Laverne, says they did their best to make sure their mom felt loved. Quote, we wish we could be with everybody in the village. Gathering and eating is one of the things that we do, but because of COVID, we were not able to do it. End quote. And she ends with a song, Happy Birthday. Mary Hawkinson is a cherished elder in Old Harbor, one of the few who was fluent in the Aleutic language.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. A glimpse at global fishing trends, including hits from COVID. More after this.
Grundins urges everyone to buy seafood directly from community-supported fisheries at localcatch.org. Grundins, supporting fisheries around the world since 1926.
The State of World Fisheries and Aquaculture Report is produced every 2 years by the Food and Agriculture Arm of the United Nations. It's the only report that tracks global fisheries and food trends, and it predicts that the COVID pandemic will have long-term impacts on the seafood industry, including reduced demand and prices. Seafood is one of the most traded food commodities in the world, and global fish consumption has increased by 3.1% on average from 1961 to 2017, higher than all other animal proteins. World Fisheries in 2018 produced a record 212 billion pounds, 5.4% more on average than the previous 3 years. The increase was due mainly to anchovy catches of 15.4 billion pounds from Peru and Chile. Alaska pollock ranked second with nearly 7.5 billion pounds, followed by skipjack tuna. World aquaculture production reached another all-time record of nearly 252 billion pounds. Live weight, the U.S. ranks sixth overall for marine fish captures, following China, Indonesia, Peru, India, and Russia. 59.5 million people were engaged in fishing and aquaculture in 2018. Women accounted for just 14%. The total number of fishing vessels, from small non-motorized boats to large at-sea processors, topped 4.5 million, down 2.8% from 2016. For COVID impacts, the report predicts trade value will decrease by nearly $6 billion. For salmon, the most valuable traded seafood commodity, a worldwide drop in demand of at least 15% is projected, and retail sales are not expected to recover for some time. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. I'm Maggie Wall. It is Tuesday, and it's about 21 minutes past noon. Let's look at the... we have no personal messages, but it is a very nice day, I'll tell you that. And right now in the airport, it's only 58 degrees, but up here on Signal Hill, it's 65. And we're looking at sunny skies today. Beautiful out. If you get a chance to get out, take it. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 51. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 62. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, around 51. And then we have mostly sunny during the daytime all the way till... Saturday. Nope, I'm going to say Sunday, all the way till Sunday. 4th of July will be mostly sunny with a high of 67. Looking at the almanac, it is the 30th day of June. It's the last day of June. Permanent fund dividend checks are deposited tomorrow. And sun come up this morning at 5:14. It sets tonight at 11:13. Comes up tomorrow, 1 minute later at 5:15. That gives us 18 hours even of daylight, which is a loss of 1 minute and 28 seconds. I want to put the fish and game announcement in right here before we do the marine forecast so we can make sure we get it in, because it is kind of long, and it was from the 26th.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 4. Date issued 10 a.m. on June 26th. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Saturday, June 27th, until 9 p.m. Monday, June 29th, in the following areas: in the Cape Alitak, Humpy Dead Man, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, Olga Bay, and Dog Salmon Flat sections of the Alitak District; the Outer Iakulik section of the Southwest Kodiak District; and the Iduit Bay section north of a line from Haystack Rock, at 58 degrees, 10.58 north latitude, 152 degrees, 17.36 west longitude, to Pillar Cape at 58 degrees, 0.89 north latitude, 152 degrees, 0.677 west longitude. The Spiridon Bay Special Harvest Area, or Telrod Cove, will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Saturday, June 27th, and remain open until further notice. Closed waters are reduced in the Dog Salmon Flat section of the Allotack District from noon Saturday, June 27th, until 9 p.m. Monday, June 29th, to the fishing game markers located at the stream terminus of Dog Salmon Creek, stream number 257403. Closed waters will be expanded near Horse Marine Lagoon from noon Saturday, June 27th, to 9 p.m. Monday, June 29th, in the Dog Salmon Flat section of the Allotack District, east of a line bounded by a point from 57 degrees, 0.724 north latitude, 154 degrees, 0.30 west longitude, to a point 57 degrees, 0.6495 north latitude, 154 degrees, 0.3 west longitude, to a point 57 degrees, 0.638 north latitude, 154 degrees, 0.0 west longitude. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice: the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area and Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse and gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are reduced until further notice in the following locations: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406, and in Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822, and to the stream terminus of Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak area salmon statistical chart, detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you very much. And, again, that phone number is 486-4559. Looking at the marine forecast now, first of all, the synopsis for the Gulf Coast and Kodiak Island waters. A high pressure extends across the southern Gulf through Thursday morning. Meanwhile, a trough extends across the northern Gulf through Thursday morning as well. For our local waters, Chiniac Bay and Marmot Bay, today west winds 10 knots in the morning, becoming variable less than 10 knots. Seas 3 feet. Tonight, variable winds less than 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Tomorrow, more variable winds less than 10 knots with seas only 1 feet. Tomorrow night starts picking up ever so slightly. West winds 10 knots with seas 2 feet. And just scanning through here, we have no warnings or advisories or anything like that. It's a very nice day outside. When I drove in earlier, the wind generators, the propellers, were just mostly stuck. There's just hardly any wind out there. Looking at the tides for today, the next one up is a low tide at 4:13. It will be 1.59 feet. That's for the Kodiak District. High tide will be at 10:51 at 8.82 feet. For the west side, Euganic Bay, the high tide will be at 5:06. I'm changing that. They did just have a high tide at 11:14. That was 11.56 feet. So the next one then will be a low tide early in the morning at 5:06 in the morning tomorrow, 2.68 feet. Looking at community announcements, we have time for just a few here before we head on into Talk of the Rock. Talk of the Rock today, Jared will be our host, and he'll be speaking with Kodiak Museum, talking about some of their new acquisitions. Got a bunch of new exciting acquisitions, Jared told me, a bunch of World War II things. And then also be talking about the current program to keep tabs on and document the coronavirus and COVID-19 in Kodiak for future generations. Today is the 30th, and so that means the Kodiak Baptist Mission Farm Tour. That's at 1:30 this afternoon, and there's more information on the Kodiak 4-H Facebook page. And they do archive recordings, and it's available on their website. So you can explore agriculture on a little walk today at the Kodiak Baptist Mission Farm Tour. Is it 1:30? Let me double check. Yes. Confused myself for just a second there. The Kodiak Animal Shelter and Humane Society's annual Pet Idol Photo Contest is underway. contest run between May 1st and July 31st. You can submit up to five photos per pet. Voting will happen on August 10th. Winning pets will be featured in next year's calendar, and there are prizes for the Pet Idol of the Year. So you can go to the Kodiak Humane Society, the Animal Shelter's website, or contact the shelter at 486-8077. 486-8077. I had to laugh because I once entered one of my pets in there, and I thought, she was the cutest dog in the world, and she didn't win. It was really, I guess this must be how parents feel about their kids not winning the 4th of July baby contest. Anyway, so if you have a pet, great idea. It's a lot of fun, and then that kind of takes care of your Christmas shopping when your pet is in the calendar. The Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center will have a regular monthly meeting of its board of directors at 6 o'clock tonight. Due to the pandemic, meetings are held online. Guests are welcome, and if you're interested in attending by online, you can call the Women's Resource and Crisis Center. They will tell you how to do that. 486-6171. 486-6171. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be joining Talk of the Rock. But first, let me tell you about being a volunteer, and then we'll join them. So let's finish up the program and then go into Talk of the Rock.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Hello, dedicated listener. Ready to take your interest to the next level? KMXT staff is looking for on-air hosts, and you may be just the right person for the job. Our staff will teach you how to be an on-air personality and train you to use the equipment. We'd love to help you become more involved in your local radio station and provide an opportunity to increase your skill set. A mutually beneficial scenario. If you're interested in volunteering at KMXT, contact Pam at 486-3181 or pam@kmxt.org.